Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here live on location on Wisconsin's Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention from Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. And it's the 15th of July, a Monday, a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are joined all this week by our friend and colleague, Mr. Trigvi Olson, a former Republican like myself, now the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joining us from just off-site. He'll be with us live here at our desk in Panther Arena tomorrow. And Trigvi, always a pleasure to have you along. Mr. Zommer is our producer engineer back at the world headquarters in downtown Madison. Thought it was interesting to hear from Scott there on some of the ways the Republican Party used to be. Your thoughts on Scott's comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scott hit the nail on the head, right? Like, the party has changed. There's an evolution going on within the electorate, right? Like, and, you know, in Wisconsin, where we're really seeing it, Scott alluded to this somewhat. You know, when you look at the counties that have become really purple, it's suburban counties, it's counties where UW system schools are, and that's really where the rubber meets the road as the convention's being digested by the electorate, right? It's going to be in those places in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Arizona that are really going to decide where this thing comes down.
We have our friend and colleague Matt Flynn standing by on the phone. We're going to go to him in just a moment. But first of all, I want to go to the phone line. Mark in Prairie du Sac is on the line. Had a couple of thoughts on the rhetoric going on right now. Mark, always appreciate you listening. What do you want to say?
Yeah, what's fascinating to me is how the Republicans have been able to co-opt on some of these social issues. Where I think, like for the whole trans issue thing, there's just so few trans athletes actually out there that's making such headlines, and that people are acting like it's some kind of major assault on the whole sport, teen sports and sports in general. You know, the fairness there that they're able to nullify people that have been around for forever. I mean, that, and the other issues as well. I mean, what has fascinated me is the Now the embrace of some of the Protestant churches of the Catholics, where I can remember 25 years ago, where some of those Protestant churches they were still calling the Catholic Church, the Church of the Antichrist, because of the Pope and the whole Puritan message about Catholicism.
But, I always appreciate the call, Mark. Go ahead. All right. I just want to say I appreciate the call. And Scott and I talked a little bit before we went on, and I'm sorry we kind of ran. The baseball story was great, but it used up some of our time. But one of the things that, you know, I kind of pushed back a little bit on Scott before we went on the air was exactly what you just said, Mark. I said, look, this is six or seven kids in Wisconsin high schools that happen to be trans kids. I said it really is the Moms for Liberty types that find out about this, and then they go to the right-wing media, and they're the ones that really blow this up and make it a big deal. And he said that, yes, that he agreed with that part of it. But, yeah, I mean, these are certainly, you know, things that divide us and kind of get blown out of proportion and whatnot. I want to go bring on our friend and colleague. We're always so honored to have him here. He is the two-time Wisconsin Democratic chair. Try that again, Todd. Two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin, also an attorney, a great one at that, and an author of a brand new book called Hunting Bernie Weber. We're going to get to that in a minute, but we bring him on live from here, his city, Matt Flynn. Always a pleasure. I'm not sure about you, Matt, but I think that Milwaukee is a terrific city.
Good to be with you, Todd. You too, Trevi. It is a terrific city. I've lived here most of my life, and you know, there's a phrase, Minnesota nice, Wisconsin nicer. And we are that. So I know we're going to talk about the book in a little bit, but there's some stuff going on downtown that bears discussion at the Republican National Convention.
Well, and you're right. I'm watching some of the reporting of Dan Schaefer for the recombobulation area, sharing some of the video on his Twitter feed of protests going on right downtown in Milwaukee. Unless you just know something fresher, Matt, so far what I've seen seems to be without violence at this point. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, but, you know, most of the violence has come from the right, not from the left. And I just want to put this in before we talk to the other issues. There had not been violence advocated by a mainstream party since the Civil War until Donald Trump, believe it or not, advocated that Hillary Clinton's bodyguards be disarmed and the Second Amendment people take care of her. And that launched a series of violent talk culminating in January 6th. So what happened in this assassination attempt is reprehensible. There's absolutely no room for that in our democracy. But the truth of the matter is that this has got to be toned down, and it's got to start with Donald Trump. And I'm going to be looking at his speech very, very carefully. And has he really changed or has he not really changed? Because I think that's going to be a harbinger of what occurs in the next several months.
Agreed on that, Matt. Let's turn to, as you always do on these things, able to explain complex legal matters. And as we like to say, the former Judge Weissman from Tennessee said, put it down there where the chickens can get at it. Is that it? That's exactly where we want to put it.
I love that.
So put it down here where us non-attorney chickens can get at it, Matt Flynn. Major decision today in Florida. Explain it to us.
Yeah, let's get down where the chickens can get at it. Eileen Mercedes Cannon has been a Trump advocate for the entire case. She started out by prohibiting the government from even looking at the classified documents that he stole. And then that was reversed on appeal several months later, but it delayed the case. Then this case got filed. And she has persistently done unusual things to benefit Trump. What she did now, in my judgment, was essentially a political decision, taking advantage of sympathy after the assassination attempt, the immunity decision, and especially Clarence Thomas's dissent, concurrence. And she is essentially making a bold move. I think her motivation is to get herself appointed to the Court of Appeals or even the Supreme Court, because if Trump were to win, God forbid, he will be grateful. I'm going to say one thing, and then I'll follow up with something about her decision. I have maintained, and not everybody in my party agrees to it, that it is dangerous to appoint anyone who is born in a foreign country to a lifetime position where you can't remove them. They certainly can run for office. Jennifer Granholm was born in Canada and was a great governor of Michigan and so forth. Mm-hmm. But they're not permitted to run for president, and they should not be federal judges, because a federal judge can shut down the entire government with an injunction and can disrupt us. And there are many fine people like that, but some come from authoritarian cultures. What she did, this is the fig leaf, it's a 90-plus page opinion, and she said that Jack Smith was not lawfully appointed, so he can't even do the case. And she relied on two things, both of whom, which are false. One is that the Constitution doesn't provide for special counsel, but the Constitution provides for a Justice Department, and the Attorney General decided to do it. And secondly, he's funded by a fund that the Congress set up in the 1980s for a special counsel, and she doesn't like that either, even though she's not a legislature. Now, here are the two things, and I'll tell you what I would do that if I were Jack Smith. The first thing is you can appeal to the 11th Circuit, which has slapped her down, does have some Trump appointees. It'll end up in the Supreme Court. But none of that will happen before the election. And if Trump gets in, God forbid, he will have this case dismissed by his attorney general. The other thing they can do is simply refile the case with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., in front of Tanya Chutkan, or in Bedminster, where he stole some more documents in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have honest federal judges who weren't sort of bucking for a higher appointment. It will still not get done by November. But there are plenty of avenues for Jack Smith to pursue. And the other thing I'll say, said it before, is Merrick Garland did not have to appoint a special counsel. He chickened out. He put it to insulate himself. He could have had a U.S. attorney in Washington or Jersey do it. And that they could have hired Jack Smith. They could have had him TAD, yeah, temporary additional duty, and hired him. But to do this sort of thing, in my judgment, was a political ploy on the part of Garland, and it misfired.
If you want to ask Matt a question, he always enjoys your calling in, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. We're talking with Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an author and an attorney. Also with us, a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, all this week. We appreciate both of them. Matt, as you always do, you make the lines light up here from WMDX in Madison. It says, amen, preach. Thank you, Matt. So we've already got a text in there.
Thank you, brother.
Also, Mark from the SAC, Mark from the SAC saying Trump likely has already monetized classified information and our intelligence agencies know it and are protecting sources by not disclosing it. What say you, Matt?
That is a profound statement from Mark from the SAC. And here is a very sad fact. In the year after Trump had those documents lying around in bathrooms, and you know that Russians and Chinese and Iranians got in there because the public got in there. They went to wedding receptions. Right. They hired on his staff. The CIA put out a bulletin that was reported in the New York Times that an unusually high number of our agents in Russia and China and the Middle East had been outed and executed. And it is obvious to me and to any professional in this that once they saw those classified documents, they, by reverse engineering, knew who had disclosed it. You know, because if they see something that five people know and four of them are solid, they execute the fifth guy, which is our agent. Trump has cost us manpower. He's cost us our citizens. And that's exactly right. He also, by the way, talked to an Australian businessman and said, hey, we have neat technology where our submarines can get within 100 feet of a Chinese submarine, and here's how we do it. He said that to them. He said that to them.
Yeah.
That's treason.
Yeah. No, it certainly is, as you lay it out there. We always appreciate it. Matt, can you come back one more segment with us here and talk a little bit more about this?
Certainly can. Thanks a lot.
All right. That sounds good. Matt Flynn is going to be here, and Trigvi Olson as well. We are live from the Republican National Republican Convention here from Wisconsin Media Radio Row. Glad to have you along on a Monday, the 15th of July. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network here on the Allball Show. We are live from Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention. Trigvi Olson, our co-host for the week, senior advisor to Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, is here in the city just outside the secure zone. But they'll let him in by tomorrow. We were confident of that. And on the phone here in Milwaukee, our friend and colleague, two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an author and an attorney, Matt Flynn. We appreciate you, Matt. Before we go on to the book here, one more legal question. What is next after this Eileen Mercedes Cannon ruling today dismissing these charges on the alleged stealing of files or keeping of files down in Florida? What is going to happen next? I mean, this is just over, or what do you think the next step is here in this case?
Right. Jack Smith and Merrick Garland have several options. Number one, the more obvious one, is they appeal it to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and they have shown themselves to be impatient with Eileen Mercedes Cannon. And then Jack Smith would also ask that they dismiss her from the case, which they can do, and put another judge in who isn't conflicted the way she is. That will certainly not resolve anything before November. And God forbid, if Trump wins, he will have Bill Barr or whoever he uses, Attorney General, just dismiss that case. The second thing he could do would be to refile the case in Washington, D.C., or in New Jersey in the district court for Bedminster before honest judges who don't have this conflict. And they'd have to start out all over again, although they could use a lot of the prior discovery and so forth. Then they know they'd have an honest judge. And frankly, Merrick Garland could use a U.S. attorney's office there, not Jack Smith, to get rid of this special counsel objection. And they could hire Jack Smith if they wanted to. What are they going to do? I think they're going to appeal it.
Okay. Joe, one of our favorite callers listening in on WMDX in Madison. Joe, thanks for calling in. You had a question for Matt about the classified document case.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being here. I always enjoy your insights and miss you hugely. I wanted to ask a little bit more in this subject that Mark brought up, this question of is this classified information already monetized and moved on? And I'm curious about your reaction to this, just knowing what, you know, the areas that you've been in government. It's this question you just said about how things can be reverse sourced, so you know who leaked it and which sources may be blown. And I guess the question I would ask is, we have never had an accounting, or as far as I know, where anybody has said, how bad is it? Someone would say, geez, it's been no problem. This is just on the edges. No issue at all. Everything's fine. Don't worry. Or somebody saying, this is a nightmare. This has just made Swiss cheese out of our intelligence operations. Nothing has been commented at all. And I'm curious, as any sane person looks at those photos with boxes of classified information scattered all over, slobbed all over, I mean, not even really well organized, copy machine here, copy machine there, doesn't it? I mean, to me, it reminded me of the pictures that you see in a country where the leader has left, in exile on a plane to Dubai, and this stuff is scattered all over. It does not look like organized government, does it? I mean, it looks like the proverbial hit the fan and people left. So I'd be curious what your reaction is just to the photos that we have seen, what story they tell. Thanks, Matt. I'll listen off air.
Yeah, here's the science behind this. There are some secrets that are so secret that perhaps, say, five people know them. You know, we had a guy that we planted in Putin's inner circle. He used to play cards with him, and about five people knew it. When Trump got in, they were afraid that the CIA was afraid he'd divulge them, so they pulled the guy. The way you reverse engineer it is, if there's something that's highly, highly confidential, and there's only a handful of people who know it, once these people in Russia, China, or Iran read this, they know one of those five had to have done it, and then they go through it, and they decide who's really, really loyal and who isn't. And that's why the New York Times, it had last year, had a front-page article that said that there was a Station Bureau memo by the CIA, obviously a secret memo that was leaked to the New York Times, that said we've had an inordinately high number of agents captured and executed. And be a little more careful about how you handle secret information. The subtext, which they didn't say, is Trump's, those documents, it was that first year that he had them. And why is nobody in the Democratic Party saying this? Why isn't Biden saying that? I think the reason is, in libel law, there is an exception for a public figure and all that. But when you accuse somebody of having leaked documents to our enemies with the resulting execution of our agents, that is something that would probably survive a motion to dismiss, or it might. Although I would argue, and I've done a lot of libel cases, that it shouldn't. But in any event, people are afraid of getting sued by Trump. He sues everybody. He sued a TV station in Rhinelander over publishing something that, in his own voice, that he said, and scared them, and they didn't have the money to handle it. So Trump is frankly, a dangerous person for our security. And why has nobody been talking about this? People have intimated it, but nobody in their right mind, Joe, believes that you can leave documents around like that. And your analogy to the Afghan president who got out of town and there was all garbage left in his office is very apt, because it's just lying there. It's lying in a bridal dressing room over the ballroom. So if a bride goes in and dresses, this stuff's lying around. It's lying around. Now, the average bride isn't going to look at it, but, you know, somebody else might. But excellent question. Thank you, Jim.
Trevi, you've done work all over the world against autocracies and against fascism, trying to expand democracy around the world. You've talked about this before on this show, and one of the things just not aligned with the Republican Party that you and I used to belong to is this selling out of American interests around the world to bad actors like Matt's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's this notion within the Republican parts of the Republican Party, and I think it goes beyond the isolationist wing that has always sort of been in the Republican Party, that now has this desire to coddle autocrats. And it's so antithetical to Reagan-esque conservatism, right? Like, we've gone from there's an evil empire to, well, Putin's, you know, bombing hospitals, but he's not a bad guy.
Right. And that's just, I mean, that's just sick. I mean, speaking of things that are sick, we saw Putin attack Ukrainian hospitals, and you've seen this stuff in Eastern Europe up front, and how current iterations of the Republican Party, people who are here or going to be here this week in the building that I'm in or across the street, how they could support that is anything but the Republican Party that you and I used to belong to.
Yeah, it's very antithetical to what the Republican Party of Reagan and George Bush and Eisenhower, and quite frankly, I mean, it's just a massive change in terms of how the Republican Party is seen. And, you know, if J.D. Vance is the VP nominee, that would just be further sort of evidence to this drift away from those foundational values that conservatism has held in a Reagan-esque way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Matt, I want to get to the book. Can you give us 10 more minutes, Matt?
Absolutely.
All right. You're too popular. You're too popular, Matt Flynn. People just want to talk to you. We'll be back
callers.
With Matt.
A lot of great calls.
Indeed, Matt Flynn, Trigby Olson. We're live at the RNC Wisconsin Media Row on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Wisconsin's Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are happy to be here. Our friend and colleague, Trigby Olson, joins us from just outside of the secure perimeter. We are inside here at Panther Arena, right across the street or the parking lot from Fiserv Forum, where everything will go down. Lots of news, Trigby, right now coming across the wires. And Matt Flynn, two-time Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, an attorney, and author. And I promise you, Matt, we're going to get to your book in this segment. But let's take a minute just to catch up here on a little bit of news. CBS, Associated Press, and via the Channel 3000 website, that's a great CBS affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin, reporting now that Donald Trump has informed Florida Senator Marco Rubio that he is not the pick for vice president, not the pick. I mean, this feels like the old Apprentice show, right? You're fired, trying to get it down to a final person. So that would seemingly, if we hold serve here, that would seemingly get it down to either Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who is much more aligned with Trump in many ways, or North Dakota Governor Burgum, who is
Burgum's out, Todd.
Burgum is out. You're seeing that Burgum is out now, Trigby.
Yeah, he got a call.
That's breaking news. We may be one of the first to report that here, thanks to Trigby Olson and his sources. So saying that Doug Burgum is out. So that of the people named, that would seem to leave J.D. Vance or a surprise announcement, Trigby. Any thoughts on that?
It's going to be what it is, Todd.
See, I like because I just dialed up here, and Matt will remember this, I'm sure. It was 40 years ago, according to online researcher, 40 years ago tonight in Detroit, in Joe Louis Arena at the Republican convention, that delegates were told to stay in the hall as presumptive nominee Ronald Reagan is on his way with an announcement. And it looked like former President Gerald R. Ford had agreed to join the ticket. But then Chris Wallace got the scoop. It was George Herbert Walker Bush. Matt, you know presidential politics better than anybody else. What do you think? Is it going to be J.D. Vance, or is there going to be another George Herbert Walker Bush announcement tonight?
No, I'll say there's no question in my mind. I want to say two things. One, it's J.D. Vance. Don Trump Jr. is a strong advocate of his. The only 1984 analogy would be as if he announced Glenn Youngkin of Virginia. That's not going to happen, so it's J.D. Vance. But the second thing I want to say is J.D. Vance will be the new Hang Mike Pence, okay? He'll be the guy that will be put in as vice president on the ticket. But having said that, it's a very, very dangerous thing. This guy has no experience. He's a relatively new senator. He's kind of an intellectual vagabond. He wrote a book that everybody thought was very, very good and all that. But he is a professional brown nose to Trump. And more importantly, he's being put in there to do what Pence would not do. In other words, in the next election, the following one, he will refuse to certify the election. He will work with a Mike Johnson to upend our democracy. This is very bad news for the country. The guy's very glib. He is very anti-Ukraine. He would sacrifice them to the Ruskies. It's a very, very bad selection, but it will be the selection.
Also making news, our very own program director, Catherine Lake, out on the streets. She is reporting, as is our friend Dan Schaefer over at the Recombobulation area. He is posting video as the counter-protests, the protest marchers here in Milwaukee are on their way and apparently have reached or about to reach the perimeter here at the Republican National Convention between the outside, where protesters are allowed, and the inside the perimeter, where we are right now, where they are not allowed to go. So far, according to reports that I am seeing, there has been no violence, thank God. People are exercising their First Amendment rights as they should and as they can, but the protesters have made a name for themselves. Matt Flynn, I want to go back to you here because we've been trying to do this. You're just so darn popular, and we still have people asking questions to you, but I want to make sure we get some time here because not so long ago here, a couple of weeks ago, the presumptive Republican nominee, Mr. Trump, former president, had said that Milwaukee was, quote, a horrible city. A horrible city. And Matt Flynn, you're a great author, amongst other things. You have a brand new book out here called Hunting Bernie Weber. Hunting Bernie Weber. There's a little bit of satire. There's a little bit of comedy here. It's a lighter look. What say you, Matt Flynn? What about Milwaukee, your town here? And how do you weave that into your brand new book called Hunting Bernie Weber, where listeners and viewers can get it wherever they get their books?
Well, thanks very much. Let me promote my book. It's true. My latest book, Hunting Bernie Weber, came out in late May, so it was before Trump made those remarks. But I would say, and I'm speaking now to any convention goers, Republicans, moderates, independents, and, of course, all Democrats, let's chill a little bit about Milwaukee. Milwaukee's my town. I'm a Milwaukee guy. And Milwaukee is not only a great city, but it's far quirkier, far funnier, and far more interesting than people let on. So when he said it was a horrible, horrible city, and then, of course, he backtracked and denied he said it and said it's a great city. If you read Hunting Bernie Weber, and it's deliberately set in Milwaukee, the CIA is it's a novel. CIA is pursuing this kid who's a math genius from a very poor background. He's at Riverside High School. He goes to UWM. They're after him because he's invented an algorithm that can break codes that are in general use today. And if you want to see River West rise up to protect Bernie Weber, Brady Street, he hides out at St. Hedwig's and runs out on the street. They protect him. A lot of it's set in Three Brothers, a great little Serbian restaurant on the south side. They protect him. Milwaukee protects Bernie Weber from being hunted. But in the, it's basically a comedy. It's like the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. So if you really want a new perspective on Milwaukee, so anybody gives you any baloney anywhere else in the state, anywhere in the country, read Hunting Bernie Weber. And you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, go wherever. But just get it. I would appreciate it, and I think you will really enjoy it. And our visitors from out of state will really enjoy this perspective on Milwaukee.
Well, you were so kind as to give me an advanced copy here. I'm not all the way through it yet, but I'm partway through. It's a great book. It's really a great book. It's called Hunting Bernie Weber. There is some lighter notes in this, and it's cool that it's set here in Milwaukee. And to your point, Matt, it shows that Milwaukee is, in fact, a terrific, fantastic city. And those of us who have spent some time here, or those of us who like yourself, who really have grown up here, know that. And Trigby, that's one of the things that you and I have found. We were back in your hometown of River Falls last week. It was a fantastic time. We were in Chippewa Falls and Wisconsin Dells in New Glarus. And, you know, Milwaukee is part of what makes Wisconsin great. And I take umbrage to anybody who disagrees with that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the diversity of Wisconsin makes Wisconsin great too, right? And Milwaukee is a big part of that sort of that diversity that makes the state great. It's a big city, but one with lots of character.
Yeah, I love it. Took my sister and brother-in-law to their very first Milwaukee Brewers game on Thursday night. That was a heck of a lot of fun. Of course, you got the Milwaukee Bucks. You've got the great Milwaukee Art Museum here. You got the Milwaukee Admirals. You've got the UW-Milwaukee. You've got Marquette. You've got the Milwaukee School of Engineering. I could go on and on, Matt Flynn. I mean, we could do a whole show just on all the cool and great things that make Milwaukee wonderful.
Right. It has such a deep texture. It has a lot of different ethnicities in this town, more so than Chicago, really, although most people don't know that. Mm-hmm. But that said, Hunting Bernie Weber is a quirky, funny look at it. The kid is never really in danger. Don't worry about that. But it's good to see River West, Brady Street. Good to see Three Brothers. Good to see UWM rise up, protect him in a Russian, the Russians are coming type of milieu. And if you read Hunting Bernie Weber, the next time anybody says anything about Milwaukee, that, it's drab, it's this, that, and the other thing, Milwaukee has layers of texture that most people don't know about.
Yeah. No, it's great, and my gosh, I mean, if you're an architecture person, that's some wonderful architecture. You know, the German heritage, Polish heritage, Italian right. heritage, more recently Hispanic heritage. I mean, it's a great city. It's just a great book. It's called Hunting Bernie Weber by Matthew J. Flynn. Do you have the same middle name as Trump? Is it John? Is it Matthew John Flynn?
No, it's Matthew Joseph. When I was confirmed, in the Catholic faith, you pick your own. Right. And I picked Archibald. My mother took me aside and said, "You're not being named Archibald. Pick Joseph after St. Joseph." So,
what,
Matthew Joseph.
What made you want to pick Archibald?
Well, because I had a turtle named Archibald, and I'd read the comics Archie or something.
No, I was going to say the comic Archie comics. Yeah, all right. Well, it's Matthew J. Flynn's Hunting Bernie Weber. It's a great story. It's lighthearted, not as heavy as some of Matt's other books, but equally as wonderful, and it's a great lighthearted look at the city of Milwaukee. Matt, I appreciate your abundance of time today. Any final thoughts that you'd like to give us before we let you go here? About the Republican National Convention being in your town in Milwaukee?
No, I will simply say this. We are hospitable people. Minnesota nice, Wisconsin nicer. Everybody's welcome, but I just ask everybody to remember this. Let's chill. Let's cool down. I echo Joe Biden, and I will say this. Joe Biden is our guy. I'm strongly for Joe Biden. This business, everybody in the Democratic Party should shut up. It is getting out. He's our strongest candidate. He will beat Donald Trump. We want him in. Period. End of story. You heard it from me.
One of the many things I love about Matt Flynn is he tells it like it is, Trigby Olson.
He does. He does. He calls him like he sees him.
And we need more of that. We need more of that. Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time, my friend. Maybe we'll check in with you a little bit later this week. Have a wonderful day. Matt Flynn, great. Everybody. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you, Chad and Trigby. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, thank
you so very much, Matt. On the lines, he's been very patient, and I want to make sure we talked about Matt's book. But Gary in Sussex, 855-75-CIVIC, that's 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Thanks for holding, Gary. We appreciate it. What have you got to say for Trigby and myself?
Well, I'm glad that you guys are toning it down. It would be nice if Matt could tone it down a little bit, but I don't think he's able to because he thinks Trump is a Russian spy or something like that and says he's dangerous. You know, give him a break. And I'm not saying every Democrat is bad or every single Democrat hates Trump and wants him dead. It's not like that. You get, but if you have people saying that Trump is dangerous, it's going to be a problem. You know, we got to tone it down. Everybody's got to tone it down. Now, as far as Trump's speech, he totally ripped his speech up, and he's going to rewrite it. Thank God, because he needs to tone it down a lot. And if he does tone it down, he's going to get another 15 to 20% more people, and he will be elected president of the United States. Now, that's my opinion. Todd, what do you think?
Trivia, I'll let you weigh in first on this. Go ahead, Trivia, then I'll give my opinion.
I agree, and I'm glad that you called out both sides. I think both sides, certainly Donald Trump has a lot to answer for in terms of his rhetoric, and I think both sides, you know, Scott Kluge kind of got to this. Most people are in the middle, but the rhetoric at the extremes of both sides is dangerous, and we saw that.
I concur. I guess the add-on that I would put on to that is I don't think Matt said anything that was untrue today and hasn't, you know, in previous times when he's been on his show. The abundance of evidence shows, and Trigby, you and I have talked about this, is that Donald Trump allegedly, and it appears all evidence, I mean, he basically, what Mercedes Canada is doing down in Florida is kind of letting him off on a technicality here. But the abundance of evidence is that he's still a dangerous, another Trump administration, if you look at Project 2025 and the like, it is still a threat to democracy. In my opinion, I think calling out the truth is not dangerous. Trigby, we'll get your take on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Elball Show. We are live on location from Wisconsin Media Row, 2024 Republican National Convention on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Elball Show, live on location at Wisconsin's Media Row from Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee, site of the 2024 Republican National Convention, the convention proper across the street at Fiserv Forum, the home of the Milwaukee Bucks. Coming up at the top of the hour, news across the nation, a look at weather, sports update as well, and then live from here in Milwaukee, it'll be the Maggie Dawn Show with Maggie Dawn. She will update you on things as they progress here in Milwaukee. Again, breaking news at this hour, both U.S. Senator Marco Rubio and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum have been told that they are not the Republican nominee for vice president. It would appear that J.D. Vance from Ohio, the senator there, is now the one and only on the known list. Or will Trump give us a surprise later on tonight? Terry Barr, our news director, is here with me all of this week covering this. And a reminder, Terry and I will co-anchor a special report coming up tonight from 7 until 8 p.m. You can watch it across the Civic Media stream and also listen to it across our news talk stations here at the Civic Media Radio Network. Also, the protests continue here in Milwaukee. So far, no reports of any violence at this point in downtown Milwaukee. Trigby, I want to pick up on this because we're getting a number of texts on this. And I have said right before the break there that I don't think it's quote-unquote dangerous rhetoric to simply point out the truth, that Trump is a threat and Trumpism is a threat to democracy. You look at Project 2025, certainly a threat to democracy here in the United States. I don't think that's dangerous rhetoric to call that out. What say you?
No, I mean, we can have honest conversations about what the candidates mean in terms of democracy, in terms of policy. I just think, you know, people need to be more mindful of how they're phrasing those disagreements.
A number of people on
rhetorically.
Right, exactly. a lot of people saying that they're sick of the both sidesism. You know, people, you know, callers coming in, some of the opinions saying that, you know, both sides need to tone it down. I don't think that's both sidesism, as long as we acknowledge, which I do, that the bulk of the hurtful and dangerous rhetoric comes from the right. It comes from Trump and Trumpism. It comes from places like Alex Jones and his wacky right-wing talk show that he had. By and large, I mean, it was Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, when he ran against Hillary Clinton in 2016, saying that, to paraphrase, that people that support the Second Amendment should, quote, do something about it. I mean, that was not even a veiled threat to knock off and kill Hillary Clinton. That was started by Trump. That's a fact. But to say that there's never any dangerous rhetoric on the left, that's not true either. So I think as long as we acknowledge that the bulk of this is on the right and with Trumpism, you know, I think that's where it's at. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's an element, you know, like each case is a case. Right. And so I think I there's plenty of space to be calling out what's being said that you can, I think Kinzinger hit the nail on the head. Right.
Right.
In terms of we can call these things out, but we can be more responsible in how we're doing it. And there certainly is no place in our politics for violence and what we saw on Saturday.
Right. Totally agree with that, by the way. Absolutely agree that there is no room for violence of any kind in politics in America today. One listener listening on WMDX, a good ear, by the way. Apparently, I said that Terry Barr will be joining us tonight, co-anchoring. I got my Terrys mixed up. It would be lovely if Terry Barr did. She's a wonderful person and part of Civic Media. But no, news director Terry Bell is going to be joining me from the anchor desk here. So I apologize for that and appreciate the correction. One listener, Jeff in Shorewood, listening on WAUK, says, when was the last time Joe Biden called for a Second Amendment revolt and what dangerous rhetoric has come from the left? Obviously Joe Biden has never said that. I would say that some of the Palestinian protest rhetoric that came, you know, was anti-Semitic, clearly, and dangerous in this country. So, again, I think that people just need to take a breath here and realize what we're saying, that, yes, the bulk of the dangerous rhetoric comes from the right. It comes from Trumpism. But you can't say that the left has never had dangerous rhetoric. So, anyway, that's what I would say about that. Mr. Zommers, our producer and engineer, is saying, can you let the people know that civicmedia.us/RNC will have all of our Republican National Convention coverage? Well, there you go, Mr. Zommers. We appreciate that. Again, you can follow it at civicmedia.us/RNC, and we'll have all of our Republican National Convention coverage. It is civicmedia.us/RNC. We will continue to cover this throughout the day, Trigvy. Of course, we're going to be here tonight as we're being told that President Trump, he is in Madison, or Madison, in Milwaukee, rather, stayed at the Pfister Hotel last night. He is going to be here tonight in the convention hall. We are being told now here across the street from convention hall, there's going to be a roll call vote for the vice presidential nominee. So, of course, you would have to have a nominee announcement before you could have that roll call vote. So we will see who it is. Again, latest news that we have, both Doug Burgum, North Dakota governor, and also Marco Rubio, U.S. Senator up from Florida, have been told they are not this election. We have not heard anything about J.D. Vance, which would lead you to believe that he is the nominee.
Don't count Youngkin out.
Really? So Trigvy Olson breaking the news, there could be a surprise. Youngkin of Virginia, governor of Virginia, possibility, could be on the ticket, you're saying. It could happen.
Could be. I honestly don't understand all these people conjecturing about it, Todd. We'll know when we know.
Right. Well, it's a power game, right?
People who want to know the gender of their kids before they're born. Surprises in life.
You're not into the big gender reveal, I take it, then.
Nope, I'm not.
Nope. You just have your two lovely daughters, and you're happy with that.
Yep. Take what you get. Healthy is right. Most important.
That's right. Healthy absolutely is important. We're going to be talking to more folks throughout the week. I know a couple of people that Trigvi have lined up in terms of some media folks, and we talked to a couple other people in the hall, so we shall see a couple of surprises perhaps of our own as we go through this week here live from Wisconsin Media Row. Many thanks to our guests today, Scott Klug, former U.S. Congressman and host of Lost in the Middle podcast. Also, Matt Flynn, two-time Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, author of this great book called Hunting Bernie Weber, and an attorney as well. And, of course, our friend and colleague, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, will be sitting right next to me here tomorrow here at Panther Arena. And Mr. Zahmer is back at home in Madison doing yeoman's work. A great job as always. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum. See you tomorrow.